Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle from The Table in Uniontown. Thanks for tuning into our podcast this week. We're happy you're here. This is the live recording from this Sunday's sermon. We hope that as you listen, you'll more deeply understand the truth of God's word and how much he loves you. Let's jump in.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. I know some of you know who I am. Some of you I've never met. But my name is Harold Mansfield. I am the outreach and missions pastor at Evermore Community Church. I was formerly the youth pastor there for almost 14 years. I know it's disappointing. It's easier and it rolls off the tongue better when you say 14 years or an even number. But I wanted to bring you tidings of joy and peace and the greeting of love, hope, and grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning from just right over on Smith Kramer Street from Evermore Community Church. You are our brothers and sisters. You are the body of Christ, and it's such a pleasure to be here with you to worship our God, and it's a privilege to be able to speak to you from the Word of God this morning. And I wanted to say thank you for having me. And especially thank you to Joey for inviting me, giving me this privilege. This morning, I'm going to share about my favorite parable because I didn't want to step on the series that's coming up for you all. And I thought, okay, Lord, what would you have me share? And the parable that we're going to talk about this morning is the parable of the sower. And it's my favorite parable, partially because Jesus says that this parable is the key to understanding all the other parables. And I love that because I feel like, okay, I need to lean in a little bit more when Jesus says something like that. Like this one might be just a little bit more important. No, I'm not ranking scripture. You don't have to worry about that. But this one might be just a little bit more important, and I might need to lean in and pay attention to what Jesus tells us here. And the second reason is because I grew up in church. I grew up going to Evermore. I'm from Hartville. Some of you know that. And I've heard this parable taught or preached many times in my life. And it wasn't until I feel like the Holy Spirit unlocked a completely different perspective that I actually began to understand why Jesus says that this parable is the key to all the other parables. And it changed, again, this changed my perspective, and it changed how not I only thought about God himself, but it changed then how I thought about myself and his plan and purpose for all of creation. So this morning, we're going to look at the parable of the sower, from Mark chapter 4. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. I know I'm disrupting your rhythm. You're not standing for the scripture reading. But we're going to dive right into Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 to 20. And you'll see that behind me on screen. So we're going to look at sowing generously. Before we do, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll dive into God's word. Father, I just thank you for this morning, this privilege of being here with your people. Father, I ask that you would illuminate your word in our hearts, that it would penetrate both our minds and our actions. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to look at sowing generously. Like I said, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and we're going to start reading right away. This text tells us that Jesus, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got in a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." This morning I ask you, what are your impressions of the sower? What are your impressions of the farmer? For those of us who's grown up in the church, you're instantly thinking like, this is a trick question, Harold. You're trying to get me to say what we're all thinking. That the sower's not really a good farmer. Right? That makes some of us uncomfortable. We're like, wait a minute, Harold. Like, you know what this means, right? Those of us, again, who've grown up in the church and we're familiar with this parable. Like, God is the sower. And Harold, you're saying that the sower's not a really good farmer, right? I tricked earlier in my life, I tricked one of our high school students into answering this question. I asked him, like, okay, you own a farm. What do you think of the sower? And he's like, I don't want to answer this, right? Because he grew up in the church. He knew, I don't want to be the one who says that God's a bad farmer, right? But I want us to think about, how does he treat the seed? Look at how he treats the seed in this parable. See, when we think of farming, we probably think of something like this. Right? We think of a tractor working up a field, right? Plowing the field. Then we think of the next step, which is, you know, making rows that are nice and straight, planting seeds evenly spaced apart from one another, right? We want to make sure that we can maximize the potential of the good soil and the growth. As you see in this aerial photo that's next, right? Every square inch that we can use. In this area, you'll even notice that there are farmers who occasionally use heavy equipment to tear down trees because the shade is blocking some of their seeds from producing good crops. So they break down the trees, burn the wood to get rid of the overhang so that their fields can produce the maximum amount of a good crop as possible. We think efficiency when we think farming and we think sowing. How do we be as efficient as possible? How do we be the best sowers? But unfortunately, that's a westernized 21st century concept of farming, concept of sowing. In Jesus' context, it looks more something like this. There would be a man, again, with an oxen or a donkey or something, and he's simply tilling up the fields. You can see this is a mountainous region. And then what the sower would do would be the next slide. The sower would sow seed. There was no John Deere tractor to plant each seed 6 inches apart so that when the corn came up, it maximized its production. No, the sower would walk and he would sow seed. He would scatter seed along the way and spread it wherever he went in his field that he had worked up. And as he sowed it, we hear from Jesus that some of it fell on the path. And we think, well, that's strange. But if you look at the next slide, again, in our westernized concept, we know that there are roads, there are sidewalks, there's organization, there's infrastructure. That's not necessarily the way that it was in the first century context, especially in Israel. The land had been partitioned out to different tribes and different people to use and to live on. But the land still belonged to God's people. So there was a path that might go straight through my field. Because while it was mine to partake and to take care of, it wasn't ownership like we think of ownership. If somebody was walking through your backyard, you'd be like, what is this person doing? Who are they? Maybe jump on Facebook. Has anyone been walking randomly through your backyard? It's happening every night at my house. Right? We want to know, who is this person? What are they about? This isn't the context, and Jesus is sharing this. So as the sower scattering seed, some of it falls on the path. Some of it falls on rocky soil. Some of it falls among soil that the thorns will grow up and choke out. And again, I ask you, like, is this sower a good sower? Is he a good farmer? And again, we wrestle with this idea because we want to say, Harold, even with like a little bit of contextualization, I don't think he is. Like, he's not really that good of a sower. I'm not sure what's going on here. If we continue, in verse 10, we're told this. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret to the kingdom of heaven. But for those outside, everything is in parables so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? How does Jesus' hearers respond to this teaching? We know they don't understand, right? They asked him to explain. They want to know, what are you talking about? And Jesus says, look, I speak to you in parables so that for whom the fellowship and the will of Jesus takes precedence in their lives, those people may hear, understand, and follow. And we find that with all the other parables. Right? Jesus is speaking in stories. Some of them seem easy for us to understand. Others seem really difficult to decipher. And it takes time. It takes effort for us to kind of lean in and say, okay, God, what are you trying to do here? What are you trying to tell me? What do you want me to learn from this? And it's those people who lean in, those people who really seek from God, like, what are you trying to say here? Help me understand. Who go to the Holy Spirit, who go to each other and say, what do you think Jesus is saying here? Those are the people who begin to gain understanding. In this quote of Isaiah, Jesus is really saying, like, look, for those who seek, they find. For those who knock, the door's opened. Those who ask, they receive. And for those who don't really care that much, they don't understand. And this is a big deal because his disciples are seeking to understand, right? Those of us who follow Jesus, we want to know. We want to understand. We want to be convinced. We want to be shown so that it can produce some sort of change in our life, so that our lives can begin to look like the lives of our master who's giving us this instruction. The last question is, why do you think the parable of the sower is so important to understand? And I think the parable of the sower is so important for us to understand because this shows us the nature and the work of Christ Jesus. Jesus is about discipleship. But Jesus is about sowing. And for us, we need to become like him, both in knowledge and in deed. We need to become more like the sower. So, how do we do this? Jesus goes further on to explain in verse 14 and give into great detail now what this parable means. He says, the sower sows the word. See, these just aren't random seeds of grain or corn or pumpkins. No, he's sowing the word. And these are the ones along the path. Where the word is sown, when they hear the word of God, when they hear the gospel message, when they hear about Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves. But they endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, believing the gospel, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So what does this parable teach us about God, about Jesus? Again, it illuminates something in ourselves that we need to lean in to understand, to hear what Jesus teaches. But what does this parable teach us about God and about Jesus? Number one, I think all the parables aren't really about us. The parables are about the kingdom of God, what God's kingdom is like. And I think this parable tells us what our God, the sower, is like. And it's kind of a dead giveaway with the title. But I don't think that this parable is about what kind of soil you are, specifically. I know, it seems weird, right? That's how I've always heard this taught and thought about it. Like, Harold, are you the good soil producing 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? There was a time in my life where you thought like, well, am I the soil that produces fruit, but then it's getting choked out by thorns? But again, I think this parable is less about us and more about God, because God is a sower, and he is a generous sower. And I think what then this parable illuminates about ourselves isn't what kind of soil are you? Are you the good soil? Are you the rocky soil? Has the gospel taken root in your life and produced fruit? But I think it more illuminates about how are we like our God, the sower, or not like the sower? See, do we sow the gospel generously? Because that, I think, is the amazing thing about this parable. Do we sow the gospel like God sows the gospel? See, our God is so generous that he sows seed in places that he knows it will never grow. And we think, well, that's, why would you do that with the soil? That's a waste. Or seed, that's a waste. That's a waste of seed. Why would you sow in places that you know will never take root and never produce fruit? You're wasting the seed, God. Why would you do that? Because that is how generous he is. He sows the seed generously, even in places where he knows it might produce a little bit of a plant and then get choked out. Or it might only produce fruit 30-fold instead of 100-fold. That's not what we do. That's not what I want to do. Right? In my backyard, I have a garden. It's 25 by 75. And I make sure we try to use as much of that as possible so that we can produce food, so that we can can stuff, so that we can save money and we can eat off of that as a family. I don't do this when I'm planting a field. But I begin to ask myself, Harold, do you sow the gospel like God sows the gospel? Or do you think, well, I don't know, this person really hasn't read the Bible that I gave them. Maybe that's it for them. I'm not going to continue to pursue them. I'll spend my time. I'll be a good steward of my time over here with this person because I think that they will be the ones who actually accept Christ as their Savior and begin to follow him and mold their life like his. And I think, I'll confess, I think that's wrong. I think in the past, some of my motives have been wrong. They've been misguided. Because I haven't sowed the word of God generously. Because I think that I'm a better sower than he is. Which is wrong. Because when we sow, we don't know. We don't know what soil's going to be rocky. Right? We think we know, we can kind of see things, and we can make judgments about people's lives, but we don't know. We don't know like which soil is going to produce nothing because it's going to get trampled out by Satan. We don't know. And Jesus knows that we don't know. So he wants his disciples to sow generously. Yes, we need to be good stewards. Yes, we need to take care of our resources. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But in that stewardship, are we sowing generously? Are we sharing the word of God across the board? Or are we holding back? Because here's the thing. Again, we've focused so much, the church has focused on being the good soil. And if you would sow generously like our God sows, like Jesus has sowed into my life when I didn't deserve it. If we would just sow generously, we will produce fruit. You want to be the good soil? Sow generously. And you'll begin to see other people because of the way that we sow, because of the way that we love, because of the way that we reflect the sower, our gracious God, our generous God and Father, and his Son Jesus. When we begin to look like him, now we're going to be the good soil. Now we will see fruit, either in this life or the next. But sometimes I think we're so focused on being the good soil that we miss being like the sower. And that is what I believe this parable is about. Emulating the sower. Being a disciple of the sower. Loving like the sower. And sharing the gospel like the sower. I'm very excited, again, to be with you this morning. I'm very excited that I feel like God has laid on my heart ways that not just evermore, but ways that we as Christians in today's culture, in the United States of America and beyond, that we can sow generously, that we can take the word of God wherever we are, that we can begin to love radically. When people expect Christians to bring judgment and to bring expectations, that we can bring grace and mercy and the word of God. And I'm not saying that we compromise truth. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think that we have the opportunity when we begin to sow generously, when we begin to live radical lives that are questionable and make people think, that guy's a Christian? Why would he do that? That doesn't make sense. Christians are supposed to be smug and judgmental. They're not supposed to be happy and loving and friendly. When we can reverse that, and again, live lives where we sow the gospel generously into the world around us, then I believe, again, we will bear fruit. We will be the good soil, and we will live a faithful life that draws others to Jesus. Let me close in prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, how it draws us to you, how it convicts our hearts, how it leads us into your way. I pray, Father, this morning that as we go from this place, we would be aware of ways that we can sow the word of God, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, generously to those around us, regardless of what we think their soil condition might be. Father, I pray that we would be faithful and Lord, in the opportunities that we are not, I pray that we would be willing to accept your grace and forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, but more than that, you would give us a heart that's after you. Help us to love our neighbor, even when we don't want to. Help us to love you more, even when we have questions and lack understanding. Increase our faith that we might trust you and abandon everything else. And Lord, help us to encourage one another. Help us to encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our Sunday service. If you're interested in joining us in the future, you can find us at 17766 Cleveland Avenue Northwest on Sunday mornings at 10. Additionally, we host a meal every first and third Sunday after service in order to fellowship with one another. Visit aseatforyou.org for more information. We hope you'll join us next week. Go in peace.